Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This week, Pardes is bringing Tu Bishvat to you. Let's dive in.
This is Rabbi Daniel Silverstein coming to you from Beit Zion in Jerusalem. And this is the second of our series on Tu Bishvat. And in this podcast, we'll be talking about the date of Tu Bishvat and the significance of that for our spiritual work. According to the B'nai Sechar, the great Hasidic master, Rav Sri Elimelech of Dinov. So in this episode, we're going to talk, as I said, about when Tu Bishvat is, very specifically in the month of Shvat. But before we get to that, we really need to talk about where we are in the cycle of the year. Before Shvat, we had the month of Tevet, which is associated in our tradition with bad things. Frankly, there's a fast marking the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem, which led to the destruction of Jerusalem. And whereas most of the months are associated with Jacob, who's also called Israel, that we are the children of Israel, we are descended from, there are 3 months associated with Jacob's evil twin, Esau or Esav. And this is one of those months. So this is a month of spiritual challenge, Tevet, and it's a month of darkness. We've had the lights of Chanukah, and in fact, the lights of Chanukah even begin Tevet, suggesting the hidden light within the darkness. But then, as we all know, after we're waiting for the spring to come, and if we're in the Northern Hemisphere, it can often be dark and gloomy and cold, then it's not an easy time. And that maybe is why Tevet is associated in the Kabbalah with anger, with frustration, with impatience. And that's a very serious challenge of that time. Then after that month, we get to Shvat, the month of Tu Bishvat, and it is the preview of spring. Spring is in the air, and the Shekedia, the almond tree in the land of Israel, is blossoming. That's one of the markers that Tu Bishvat, the new year for the trees, is here. But we're not yet at the full blossoming of spring. That actually comes 2 months later in Nisan, at Pesach time. Pesach is really the full liberation and rebirth of the natural world around us and of our spiritual life. And of course, the rebirth of the nation through the birth canal of the Red Sea. Now, interestingly, that birth of the nation through the birth canal of the Red Sea and then the Song of the Sea, that portion of the Torah and the whole story is usually read around this time. And the portion B'Shalach, specifically with the Song of the Sea, is usually read very close to Tu Bishvat. So let's begin to study what the great Hasidic master, the B'nai Sechar, is telling us about our spiritual work of the month. And he's basing this teaching, which is from his writings on the month, chapter 2, section 4. He's basing this on a argument in the Mishnah, in the very first Mishnah of the tractate Rosh Hashanah. And crucially, this is the Mishnah that tells us that we have 4 new years in our calendar, at least. But these are the 4 recognized here. So we have the Rosh Hashanah, the new year many of us will be most familiar with in Tishrei, in the fall, in autumn. And we have the new year for the animals on the 1st of Elul, a month before that. And we have the new year for the trees, which we're going to talk about in a moment exactly when it is. And this is very important for us, because this is really key to when Tu Bishvat is and a big part of what it's about. And we're discussing this idea a lot in this class and going forward. We have a new year on the 1st of Nisan. The month of Pesach actually begins with a new year. And that's the date that the Mishkan, the portable temple, was first inaugurated. And the Mishnah calls it the new year for the kings and the festivals. And that is also when we start counting the months. Indeed, the Torah counts all the months from that time. And although the years begin at Tishrei, the months are counted still from Nisan. And the B'nai Sechar is going to base this teaching on an argument in the Mishnah as to what should be the date of the new year for the trees that we call Tu Bishvat. The word Tu Bishvat itself means the 15th of the month of Shvat. The 2 means 15th. But we find out in the Mishnah, perhaps surprisingly, that actually Tu Bishvat could have been called something totally different, because it might have been on a different date. It says there that the house of Shammai say that actually the new year for trees should be at the beginning of the month, the new moon, the very first day of the month, whereas the house of Hillel say it should be on the 15th, on the full moon. So usually in matters of Jewish law, of halakha, we do follow the house of Hillel. Actually, one reason given for this very beautifully is that the house of Hillel would always cite the words of the house of Shammai first. They would always say, here's the opinion of our opponents and here's what we think. So that's one reason given in the tradition why, in fact, we always decide Jewish law according to the house of Hillel. So in this case, it means that our new year for the trees is not at the very beginning of the month, but at the climax of the month when the moon is full, when the energy of the month is at its apogee. Now you might be thinking, who cares when the new year for trees is? Beginning of the month, middle of the month? What does it matter to me? Now the Bnei Yisachar is going to explain the different interpretations and the different meanings of those two dates and what it means for us. And it's all based from a rereading of a verse in the Torah. The Torah says in Deuteronomy 20:19, is a tree of the field like a person? The Torah is asking a rhetorical question, saying that, of course, since a tree of the field is not like a person, we should therefore treat trees respectfully and not chop them down needlessly if they happen to be around when we're having a war and we're placing a city under siege. But actually, the early Midrash and then many commentators down through the generations work with a rereading of that verse, changing it from a question to a statement. So instead of, is a tree of the field like a person, they reread Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh as, a person is a tree of the field. So if we are analogous to trees in some way, then the new year for trees actually becomes very significant for us. And this is the way that the mystical tradition, the Kabbalah, see Tu Bishvat, that the new year for the trees is actually a very deep new beginning for us in the cycle of the year, coming as it does on the full moon, two full moons before the full moon of Pesach, so 2 months before Passover. We have an opportunity to prepare for the coming liberation by beginning to work on our intention. And we discussed this a little bit in the last episode, in the first episode of the series, the idea that the spiritual work of the month included beginning to see our thoughts clearly and to learn how to focus and control and direct them so that we can create powerful intentions for going into a new beginning of the rebirth of the spring. And of course, this fits perfectly with what I mentioned before, that this is a season, although we're not yet celebrating the Exodus from Egypt, we're reading about it in the annual Torah cycle, preparing ourselves mentally and spiritually before we actually go through it and experience it for real in the full flourishing of spring at Pesach time. One very beautiful image we have for this inner beginning of Tu Bishvat is the sap rising within the trees. And this is given to us, it's articulated very beautifully by Rashi, a great French medieval commentator, page 14a of the tractate Rosh Hashanah, when he's explaining the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that the new year for trees has to fall after most of the rains of the winter have fallen. And Rashi explains, since most of the days of rain, i.e. the winter, have already passed, it's the beginning of the time of the production of fruit, and the sap begins to rise in the trees, and the fruit begins to ripen from this point. Meaning, while the rain is still falling, we consider that to be what's happening in the previous year. Once the rain stops, then our focus changes from the water that's nourishing the trees to what the plants and the trees then do with that water. Our attention focuses now on what's going on inside the trees, and what's going on is that the sap rises, that the new juices of life, of new potential, are beginning to stir and come up within the tree, which eventually is going to lead to the fruit being produced and ripening. I find that idea of the sap rising to be a really helpful and beautiful model for understanding this idea of preparing ourselves mentally and spiritually for the Exodus, right? We're not going to be ready just to go through without giving it any planning or forethought. If we begin to think now of what is that new lease of life and creativity that is stirring in me, if I begin to give that space and energy now, then it will be so much more potent when we come to the actual Exodus. So let's go back to our friend the Bnei Yisachar. And let's go back to his teaching on Shabbat, chapter 2, paragraph 4, where he's talking about, does Tu Bishvat happen when Beit Shammai say, the house of Shammai say, at the beginning of the month, or the house of Hillel on the full moon? And let's see what he says about it now. We have the context to understand it. He says that the house of Shammai always embody and represent the qualities of Gevurah and Yirah, that severity, judgment and awe. And we see this very clearly. There's a wonderful story in the Talmud about a would-be convert who approaches Shammai himself and then later approaches Hillel. And Shammai's approach is to take the measuring stick of a builder and to chase the man away with it, to push him away with it. Whereas when this would-be convert comes to Hillel, Hillel, Bnei Yisachar says, is the embodiment of kindness and love. And so what he does, of course, is welcomes the man and teaches him about love. And what he says to the man, according to the Talmud, this is in Tractate Shabbat, page 31a, he says to the man, what is hateful to you, do not do to others. And that's the mitzvah, of course, of loving your fellow as yourself. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, from Leviticus 19:18. The Bnei Yisachar is saying that this story about Shammai embodying severity and judgment and harshness and Hillel embodying love and kindness is actually the lens we need to understand their different dates that they say that the new year for trees should fall on. He says that when the moon is new and the moon is a tiny point and that the energy of the month and our relationship with the Torah and with the Creator that the new month offers, it's just a tiny little point. And so we can connect with the energy of the month and with a special relationship with Torah and the Creator that the month offers us and this chance to do inner renewal. But he's telling us it's not going to be easy. It's going to be related to these qualities of gevura, of din, of yira, of severity, of judgment, and of awe. And this relates beautifully to the fact that at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, of Devarim, the Torah tells us that book begins with Moshe speaking to the people on the first day of Shavuot. In other words, the beginning of the month of Shavuot is the beginning of the final book of the Torah, which is also seen because that book is actually coming from Moses, as opposed to directly from God. It's actually seen as the beginning of the oral Torah. This is the beginning of our reinterpretation of the Torah, of our journey of creativity with the Torah in human hands. That's why Devarim is often called by the rabbis the Mishnah Torah, the repetition, the relearning of the Torah. And that is all well and good and very beautiful. And if you listened to the first episode already, you'll know the astrological sign of our month is the Dili, the bucket, Aquarius, and that the Bnei Yisachar has already taught us that our responsibility is to serve the world and serve through our relationship with Torah by turning the bad into good with Torah. But, and there is a big but, and that is if you're familiar with the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy or Devarim, then you will know that it begins with a huge guilt trip, that Moses begins by making all kinds of subtle and not so subtle references to the people he's speaking to, of all the things that they and their parents have done wrong. In other words, it begins with a lot of din, gevura, and yira, a lot of very challenging energy. And fortunately, it sweetens up. Later on in Deuteronomy, there's some of the most beautiful chapters and verses in the entire Torah and the entire Bible, the entire Tanakh, talking about our loving relationship with the divine and the divine's infinite compassion, mercy, rachamim, for us. But it doesn't start in that place. It starts, and this is what the Bnei Yisachar is saying about a month of Shavuot, both the book of Devarim and the month of Shavuot start in this way, with the energy of severity and judgment. He's saying, if you want to enter into our holy service, our relationship with Torah, our relationship with life at this time, then it's actually going to be quite hard at the beginning of the month because we're really still coming out of Tevet. That's why I spent quite a long time at the beginning of this episode talking about Tevet the previous month, because we're really still just coming out of that quite challenging energy of the dark, oppressive, gloomy winter. And it's only when we get to the middle of the month and the full moon and the climax of the month's energy that then, according to the house of Hillel, who represent love and kindness, then the sap is truly rising. Then that potential for new life is truly rising up within every tree, and so of course within every person, for a person is like a tree. And then we can really tap into this incredible potential we have for growth and aligning ourselves to what we want to be going into the new year. So thank you for listening to this episode. And the next episode, we're going to continue by exploring the relationship between Tu B'Shvat and the rebirth and the new year of Nisan, but thinking about it not only in terms of the rebirth of ourselves, but also actually in terms of the rebirth of the entire creation and the entire world.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and a big thanks to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in every day to stay on track with your learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about other ways to learn with Pardes.